And that involves, in case that's a new terminology to you, let me explain what that is. It involves establishing some type of a circumstantial sign by which God can indicate to us the right decision. I'll give you an example. Okay, let's say we need a car. So the believer prays and they say to God, God, if you want me to buy a car today, then God, I pray that you'll send me to a place that has a red car with black interior and they're asking less than $5,000. And if those circumstances fall into place, we go to the dealership and sure enough, they got a red car, black interior, and they're asking $49.95 for it. Then we say, this must be God's will, and we buy the car. Another example would be, okay, God, I have two job offers. I don't know which one is your perfect will, his people say. You know, which job you want me to have. So God, you know, whichever one you want me to take, God, I pray they'll have them call me this morning by 9:30 a.m. And so one of them calls at 9:29. The other one calls at 10:02, and well, we know now it's God's will, this job over here. Now, if they both call before 9:30, then you're back where you started, you know. But if one of them calls before 9:30, then we say this must be God's will. So it's the idea, when we talk about putting out a fleece, it's the idea of, okay, God, you make this circumstance happen, and then I'll really know that you're in this decision. Or, you know, God, make this thing happen, and then I'll know that this is what you want me to do. It's the idea of God communicating His divine will through circumstances or through some event in our life. People call this putting out the fleece, and they base it on this Old Testament story involving one of Israel's judges named Gideon. Israel, just to kind of give you the background, Israel's in bondage to the Midianites. And God made a decision that He was going to deliver them. And God decided that He was going to use Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Let's look with me here at Judges chapter number 6. Let's go ahead and turn this mic on, if you would, up there, the orange one. And I'm going to have Pastor Rich. And... And quick on the trigger there, but I'm gonna let Pastor Rich use that incredible reading voice that he has, and we're gonna go to Judges 6, and I want you to look at verse 11. Let's pick up the story in verse 11. Pastor Rich, would you read through about verse 16? Is it on? Orange mic? Is that on? Okay. All right. Go ahead. Let's see here. You got it? All right. Things are going smoothly so far in the message. This is off to a great start. All right, here we go. All right, go ahead, Pastor Rich.
And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah.
Not the woman on television. All right, go ahead.
That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thine might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man.
All right, so that's the story. Now, right before they're getting ready to go out to battle, Gideon kind of gets cold feet. And due to his unbelief, Gideon decided that he's going to make sure that God really meant what he said. So he put out a fleece. He puts out a fleece. You say, what's that? What is a fleece? It was literally, it was just a piece of wool that was shorn from a sheep. And I've got a picture here of a wool fleece. It's sitting on a rock. And that'll kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about. A fleece was just a piece of wool that had been shorn from a sheep. And so Gideon decides that he's going to find out if God really meant what he said. So he's going to put a fleece out on the ground. You say, well, what is he going to do with it? Well, look at chapter 6 and skip down there to verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So I've got another picture here, kind of an artist rendering here of Gideon and his fleece. We'll go ahead and bring that up. And there you see him, and he's wringing the fleece out. And so he puts this fleece out, and sure enough, a miracle happens, and it's dry all around the fleece. There's no dew at all around it. But yet the fleece is full of dew, and he's wringing it out, okay? So now you would think Gideon would be ready to go, right? Well, he still has cold feet, and so he now decides that he wants God to do something else to show him, and that is he wanted God now to reverse it. He wanted the fleece to be dry, but he wanted there to be dew all on the ground around the fleece. And of course, that would be even more miraculous because we know wool would tend to soak up the water and soak it in. So for the ground to be all dry for the ground to be all wet and for this piece of wool to be completely dry would indeed be a miracle. Well, look at verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So God grants Gideon's request. And the battle is miraculously won against the Midianites, if you read on in Judges 7. So now, here's the question that I want to seek to answer tonight, and I'm sure this will go to Sunday night's also, to Sunday night's message. Here's the question I want to answer tonight. Does this scripture passage teach and encourage and promote the idea, the practice of putting out a fleece? Does God desire that members of the body of Christ today put out fleeces, so to speak? Now, nobody seems to do it literally as Gideon did it in the Bible. They don't go out and literally put a, you know, piece of wool out. They allegorize the story. They spiritualize it. And so the idea here is, does God desire that we walk in His will by means of circumstantial signs? Is this the standard mode of practice that God uses to communicate with us? Or is it even an occasional method that we can expect God to communicate with us? Some believers only resort to this kind of thing when they've got a big decision to make and they don't know what to do. They don't fleece God over what color socks to wear or whether to shave today or what kind of cereal to eat. You know, they don't fleece God over that, but they're going to do it in the big decisions, you know. Well, when you truly examine God's word and you rightly divide it, the modern day practice of putting out fleeces begins to break down in every respect. And I just want to go ahead and I'll go ahead and take away the mystery right here from the beginning, okay? And that is, I want to just say emphatically, and then I'm going to prove it, but I want to say emphatically, God's Word does not teach the believer today to put out fleeces to God. God does not desire that you try to read His will through circumstantial signs. And in fact, not only does He not want you to do it, but it can be very, very dangerous to live your life that way. Now, what we're going to do is we are going to consider four facts from this passage. Four facts. We're going to look at it. We're going to read it. We're going to see it. Okay? And we're going to see how that applies, those four facts, to the modern day practice that people use of putting out fleeces. Then, when we're done with that, we're going to come back. And I'm going to give you five or six potential dangers. I mean, big time dangers associated with trying to make decisions by fleeces. This idea of making deals or arrangements with God and trying then to read the signs to figure out what He wants you to do. We're going to look at five or six incredibly just potentially disastrous things that can happen when we try to live our life that way. All right, so we're going to begin with four facts from the passage, and we're going to see how that applies. All right, here's number one. The first fact is this. Gideon's fleece was not a circumstantial sign, but rather it was a miraculous display of supernatural power. Now, what I mean by that, Gideon wasn't simply asking for a particular circumstance to occur. Remember what I said earlier? God, if you want me to buy the car, I pray I'll find a red car, black interior, less than 5,000. You know, in other words, we want these circumstances to occur. That's not what he's doing here. He wasn't simply looking for a set of circumstances to align themselves together. Gideon was looking for nothing less than a miracle from God. For example, let me show you the difference. There's a big difference between saying, God, if you want me to do this thing or you want me to take this job, then I pray you'll make the phone ring by 9:30 a.m. There's a big difference between saying that and saying, God, if you want me to take the job, I pray that the phone will catch on fire, it'll smoke, and it'll fly through the house at 9:30 a.m. Right? There's a big difference between those two. One is simply circumstantial. The other one's miraculous. Many people call things miracles because we're so used to using that word. And a lot of people call things miracles that are not truly miracles. A miracle, by biblical definition, is natural phenomena that violates natural laws. Natural phenomena that violates natural laws. For example, give you an example here. If somebody says, man, let me tell you about something amazing that happened. Man, I want you to know that me, my family, we were hungry. We had no money. We had no groceries. The refrigerator was empty. The cabinets were empty. And man, a knock came at the door and there was people from our church and they had 10 bags of groceries. It was a miracle. But then somebody else says, we were hungry, we had no money, we had no groceries, we had nothing in the cupboard or the refrigerator, and we got up in the morning, we went out in our yard, and there was manna from heaven all over the yard. We picked it up and ate for a week. Amen. Now, which is a miracle, the first or the second? Right, the second would be classified as a miracle. The first one is a great blessing. It's a wonderful thing. It's great that that people care for one another, but it's not a miracle. It's not a miracle. Most people, when they quote put out fleeces, and they have these arrangements with God, they're looking for a particular circumstance to occur. But my point is this. Gideon wasn't asking for something circumstantial to happen. He wanted to see a miracle. Now, that makes sense considering in this chapter that he had already communicated with an angel and had an offering miraculously consumed by angelic fire. Look at verse 12, Judges 6:12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." So an angel appears and an angel talks to him. That's miraculous. You look down at verse 17, and it says, "He said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my presence, set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes on an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Would you all agree with me? That was miraculous. That's a miracle. Now, Gideon, when he did the fleece thing, he wasn't just asking for a set of circumstances to happen. He was asking God for a miracle, which makes sense because of what he's already seen in the chapter. So here's my point, and this is the first point, and we'll move on. When people ask God for circumstantial signs to help them determine God's will, that's a misuse of this text. That is not what Gideon was doing with the fleece. He wanted a miraculous sign, not a circumstantial sign. So the way people typically fleece God today doesn't correlate with this passage at all. They're not taking a piece of wool and going out and asking God for something miraculous. They're asking for a set of circumstances to occur. So that's not what this text is about. All right, let's look at the second thing. Number two, the second fact is that Gideon's fleece was not for the purpose of obtaining guidance from God, but rather to gain confirmation of guidance already given. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when I talk to people, and I've talked to many through the years, who will tell me, yeah, I put out a fleece to God, and God showed me what he wanted me to do through this fleece. Or I asked God to do this particular thing, and God did it, and then I knew God was in it. And when you talk to people about it, they're usually seeking guidance from God in a gray area that's not specifically addressed in the Bible. For example, they're trying to figure out which house to buy or whether to take the job promotion. Or they're trying to figure out, you know, should I marry this person now? You know, and so they're trying to get guidance. But that's a misuse of this text. That's not what Gideon's doing with the fleece. Gideon had received explicit instruction from God by supernatural revelation. I want you to go with me to verse 12. All right, verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him," Denise, maybe could you maybe help up here with it? That would be a blessing. Maybe we could help. All right, look at verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Look at verse 14. "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt," what's the next two words? "Save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Now let me ask you something. Do you think God meant what he said there, yes or no? Did God make his will known here, yes or no? Yes. All right, let's go down to verse 16. "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." That's the word from God. Look at verse 20. "And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so." Verse 23. "And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." And then go down to... Let's go down here to verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place. Take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Well, Gideon obeys, and God shows him that, hey, this is exactly what I want you to do. Look at verse 34. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Now, this is interesting here. Look down at verse 36. It says, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand. And then what's that next phrase, church? What does it say? As thou hast said. Now, here's my question. Did Gideon already have explicit instruction from God? Yes or no? Yes. So with the whole fleece thing, he's not asking God for guidance. He's not asking God for instruction. He wasn't seeking to make the right decision. He was lacking faith to do what God had already said to do. He was lacking the faith to believe that God's deliverance would come through him as God had said. Again, look at verse 37. It says here, behold, Gideon said, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand. And then again, what does he say there, church? As thou hast said. God had already given Gideon his word. God had already revealed to him his divine will. So what's the point? Here's the point. Now stay with me. When people use fleeces to try and obtain guidance in what to do, they're trying to discern God's will. That practice cannot be substantiated from this text. This was not the purpose of Gideon's fleece. He already knew God's will. He already knew it, and that is that God would save Israel by his hand. Now, unfortunately, many times people use fleeces as an excuse to violate God's will that's already revealed in his word, or they use a fleece to violate a scriptural principle, or they use a fleece as an excuse to violate sound wisdom. You would be shocked the things that people will tell you. God, I prayed that God would show me a sign if he wanted me to divorce my husband. Well, okay, and I know that he wants me to. Well, how do you know that? How did he tell you that? Well, because I met this Christian at work who's single. I've had people tell me that. I didn't make that up. That's been told to me. And I prayed about it, and I know God showed me, and he told me that's what he wants me to do. God, if you want me to play the lotto this week, then please provide 20 extra dollars this week. And man, I couldn't believe it. I went out to my car after work and there was a $20 bill lying on the ground in the parking lot. I knew that was God telling me that it was okay to do that. You know? So a lot of times people will use this whole fleece thing, this idea of, you know, circumstantial arrangement, they'll use that as an excuse, you know, for violating sound wisdom or violating scripture, you know. And we're going to talk more about that when we talk about the dangers of fleeces. But my point is this. Gideon wasn't doing this fleece to get guidance. Okay, I don't know which decision to make. Let me put a fleece out. No, that's not what he was doing. He already had the guidance. He already had the instruction. He already knew God's will. He already knew what God wanted him to do. He was struggling with the faith to do what God told him to do. So he wanted a miracle. He wanted a miraculous sign, you know, to do it. We'll talk more about why that is and why God went ahead and did it. We'll talk more about that as we go through this. Let's hit the third fact. Number three, Gideon's fleece was not a noble act of faith, but it was an expression of fear and doubt. I've had people come to me and they're real proud, you know, about a fleece they've laid out to God. And they're real proud about it. They feel like it just has demonstrated great faith on their part, you know, to do this. And when you read the text, it's very clear. This was not a noble act of faith. What this was an expression of his inner fears and his inner doubts. Rather than being an example of a noble and a proper way to approach God, Gideon's demands for additional signs, miraculous signs, they were an expression of his own fears and his own inner doubts. God's instructions to Gideon, as we already saw, was very, very clear. God had given Gideon his word. He'd given him his promise. Now, let's talk about this a minute. Why did God cooperate with this? What God graciously cooperates with Gideon's desire for the fleece sign. But it wasn't because of Gideon's faith. It wasn't because God instructed him, this is how I want you to do it. This was all Gideon right here. And that's what I want you to see, that God wasn't in this. This was all Gideon. And God graciously cooperated with it. It was Gideon's idea. And it came from his own fear, his own doubt, and his own insecurities. Now here's what we have to remember. What we have to remember is that we are in the Old Testament. We're under the law. Okay, they don't have the spiritual benefits and privileges that we do today. These people like Gideon, they don't have God's completed word. They do not have God's indwelling Holy Spirit residing in them. They're not one with Jesus Christ like we are today. They don't have the cross work of Jesus Christ to make them complete in Christ. They don't have any of that. Because of these factors, God was many times very patient with his saints in the Old Testament. He would often give them miraculous signs. He'd give miraculous signs to Israel to bolster their faith. For example, you remember when God called Moses to lead Israel out of bondage? Did Moses jump at the chance and just want to do it? Yes or no? No. He had all these excuses why he couldn't do it. God was very patient with Moses. And God said, okay, you know, look, I'll give you these miraculous signs. And then you can go, that's going to demonstrate to you, Moses, number one, that I'm in this. And you remember he took the rod, cast it down, it became a snake, and then he picked it up, the snake up, and it became a rod. You know? And all those signs, you know, the water turned to blood and so forth, and you know, arm in, leprous, arm out, you know, healthy. And he gave him these signs, and he gave Israel those signs to bolster their faith. Now, today, the Bible is very clear, and that is this. We need not ever fear. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. Y'all believe that? He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Today, we are clothed in God's armor. Ephesians 6 goes through the armor that God gives us. Today, we have God's completed word. Today we have complete access to God in prayer. The Bible says through Christ we have access to the Father by one Spirit. Hebrews 4:16 says that we can come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain grace to help in the time of need. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't have that unending access to God. They didn't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. They didn't have the completed Word of God. They didn't have the armor of Christ. They didn't have any of those things. So God cooperated with Gideon's fleece. Why? Well, because God kept His Word. God had already chosen Gideon for this special task. God had already made him promises. And God was going to keep His Word to Gideon, even if it meant acceding to Gideon's ridiculous and faithless fleece request. Even Gideon himself, when you read this, he appeared to know that he was walking on very shaky ground when he apologetically asked for the second fleece sign. Look at verse 39 again, and notice the tone here. Verse 39, "And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me." So notice, he knows he's on shaky ground. "Let not thine anger be hot against me. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon only upon the fleece and upon all the ground let there be dew. And so it's like, he's apologetic for it. He knows he's on shaky ground. He knows what God's will is. He knows what the instruction is. He knows what God's guidance is. And he's just fearful. And so God graciously went ahead and went along with his fleece request because God had already given him his word that he was going to save Israel. Look with me at the New Testament. Could you please go to Matthew chapter 12? And I want us to go to Matthew chapter 12. And I want you to notice Christ's attitude toward those who desire and require signs from God. Is that a noble thing? Is that something that shows great faith? When we have to have a sign, a circumstantial sign, or a miraculous sign, does that show faith? Well, look at Matthew 12 and verse 38. Matthew 12, verse 38. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, 'Master, we would see a sign from thee.' But he answered and said unto them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas.'" And he's, of course, speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that tells me right there? Folks, I do not need to live my life by circumstantial signs. I need to live my life depending upon the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. What Christ has done in me, through me, I'm complete in Christ. I lack nothing in Christ. The Bible says it fully equips me unto all good works. So I don't have to rely upon sign. I don't have to ask God for a sign. I don't have to ask God for some miraculous event or some circumstantial event to guide my life. See, because Jesus said, "No, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." So the third fact that we looked at here was that Gideon's fleece was not a noble act of faith, but it was an expression of fear and doubt. Let me give you the fourth and the final fact about Gideon's fleece. Gideon's fleece is not practiced or taught anywhere in the New Testament. If fleeces were a common divinely approved method for determining God's will, would it not be taught or at least exemplified once by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles? But there is a total absence of any mention of it, not only in Paul's writing, but in any of the New Testament teaching. In fact, Paul said that we walk by faith, not by what? We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by outward circumstances, circumstantial events. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Paul taught, go over to 2 Timothy real quick, and let me show you a passage there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're almost done, so just stay with me here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, turn over there. 2 Timothy 3. All right, let's look at verse 16. It says here that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Doing right. So the Bible is profitable to give me instruction in what to do right. Are y'all with me tonight? You with me? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. What does that word perfect mean? It means that you're fully what? Mature. And then it says that the Bible is able to throughly furnish you. That means to fully equip you unto all what, church? Good works. Now, let's review real quickly what we've learned. Okay? The idea of a fleece is I'm going to try to determine God's will by this set of circumstances. And I'm going to say, God, if you want me to do this, then make this happen. You know, pull the levers, you know, hit the switches and make this happen. Manipulate this set of circumstances so that this will happen so that then I'll know that's what you want me to do. And so we're going to put out the fleece. And if this happens, then I'll know you're in it. If this happens, then I know that's what you want me to do. And what we've learned tonight is that the idea of Gideon's fleece, that doesn't hold water for that kind of a thing at all. Gideon's fleece was not a circumstantial sign. It was a miraculous display of supernatural power. Gideon's fleece, hey, question, review. Was Gideon's fleece for the purpose of trying to get guidance from God? No, he already had the guidance, right? So he just wanted the confirmation of guidance that God already had clearly given him in black and white. Gideon's fleece, was it a noble act of faith? Yes or no? No, it was an expression of what? Fear, doubt. God, has God given us a spirit of fear? No. Question, true or false? Don't you hate those in school, true or false? I mean, you got a 50% chance, you're right? You flip a coin and you might get it right. But I hated those. They're tricky. You know, I'm not going to make this one tricky. Well, yes, I am. I'm going to make it tricky. True or false? Gideon's fleece is exemplified and taught all through the Bible. Pretty good. You guys get an A. False. Do we see any mention of it after this? Do we see believers doing this in the New Testament? No. Now, folks, listen, you want to make sure you correlate this message with what I'm going to give you Sunday morning. Don't miss Sunday morning. Because we're going to talk about, we talk Sunday morning about the discerning of God's will, but we're going to talk about the doing of God's will this Sunday morning. And I'll give you just a little preview for Sunday morning. And that is, remember the verse I put up on the screen where it talked about how the woman is free to marry whom she will, only in the Lord? God draws the circle of His will through His Word and says, okay, here's the circle of my will. Now, as long as you're in the circle, you're fine. Okay? It's when you get outside the circle, that's when you got to worry. But as long as you're in the circle, God gives you the freedom and the responsibility and the privilege as an adult person in the family of God to make decisions and make choices as long as you're in the circle. Let me ask you a question. When Eve and Adam and Eve were in the garden, and go to Genesis 2 real quick. I want to show you something. All right, Genesis 2, and this will be it. All right, I told you that we were only going to go to one more verse, but I forgot. All right, Genesis 2. Go to Genesis 2, and I want to look at verse 16, and I'm gonna hit this. I'm just giving you a little preview here of Sunday morning, just a short little preview. Look at Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest what? Freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God draws the circle of His will, okay? And He says, all right, here's the circle of my will, that any tree you want to eat, you just choose, freely eat, have a good time. But now, over here, this tree right here, this is outside the circle. That's a no-no. You can't eat of that one. So, Eve comes to Adam, and Eve says to Adam, you know, I'm just really concerned. What are you concerned about, honey? I'm just really concerned about what God would have me to fix tonight for supper. I just don't know whether it should be apples, you know, like some applesauce, or whether He wants me to do some oranges, or whether we should have a banana pie. I got to know what God's perfect will is for this. And so Adam goes to God and says, God, we got a problem here. God says, what's up? And he says, you know, we got a problem, a dilemma. We don't know what your will is to eat for supper tonight, whether we should have apples, oranges, bananas. And so Adam talks to God. He goes back to Eve and scratching his head. She says, well, what did he say? Well, he said he didn't care which one we ate. That we could eat any of them we wanted to. That we could decide. She said, oh, okay, well, that's good. She said, well, do me a favor. Can you go back to God? Because I got to know His perfect will about how He wants me to cook these things. I mean, does He want me to stew these vegetables? Or eat them raw? Or boil them? Bake them? I mean, how does He want me to cook these? I got to know His perfect will right here. So Adam goes back to God, talks to God. Adam goes back to Eve. And she says, what did He say? What did He say? He said He didn't care how you cooked them. You decide that. Are y'all getting the point? God's not a micromanager. And He draws the circle of His will right here. And there is no, you know, you heard about, you know, I want to be in the center of His will. And there's this dot, you know, right there in the, here's His will, but then there's the center, there's the dot. And you've heard that preached and taught probably for years. There is no dot. And I hate to burst your bubble, there's not a dot. There's not a dot. You have got freedom within the circle to make choices and decisions. Now, you're responsible to make wise, godly, biblical, prudent decisions based upon the sound wisdom of the Word of God. And if you don't, you know whose fault it is? It's not God's. Well, I tell you, God showed me through these circumstances and everything that He wanted me to have this house, and now they're going to foreclose, and I just don't know why God's doing this to me. God's not doing anything to you. You thought He spoke to you through circumstances and signs, but He didn't. He left that decision up to you, which house to buy. You made that decision to buy that house. See? So, what I'm trying to say is that God treats us like adults, not like little babies, you know, that He's just got to, you know, tell us every little thing to do and hold our hand. No, He says, no, you know what? Hey, you're a widow lady in the church. You're free to marry whoever she will, only in the Lord. You know? So ladies, take your pick. Look at all the eligible bachelors, line them up, you know. Are you saved? Yep, okay, you're a maybe. All right, and then... Are you saved? Well, yeah, all right. Well, you're a maybe. You know. But, you know, I told you Sunday, you never hear people talk that way. We've been taught to talk real spiritual. You know, that why are you marrying him? Well, you know, God just showed me through this circumstance and this sign and this event that this is the one for me. And I just know it's God. God told me that He wants me. Instead of just being honest and just saying, you know what? We met in the church, and I just watched him and respected him, and I thought, what a godly man, and he loves the Lord. And man, on top of that, I thought he was a hunk. And man, I just want to marry him. You know, how many times have you heard this? Pastor resigns. Why'd you resign the church? Well, I just felt God was leading me. God was working in my heart, and God was leading me to do this or that. Well, I promise you that there's reasons, okay? You know, there's reasons. Of course there's reasons, you know. So, you know, we've got to understand. And by the way, that's fine. I don't look at it that you know, the only place I can serve God is here, and that's just the center of the dot. No, you know what? If I was a missionary in Africa, would God be any less pleased with me, yes or no? No. No. God would be no less pleased with me if I was a missionary in Africa, you know, or whatever, you know. So, well, Sunday morning, we'll get into this some more. And by the way, Sunday night, you know what I'm going to show you Sunday night? And we're going to really hit the nitty-gritty. I'm going to give you examples, more examples of this stuff. And I'm going to show you how this whole thing of trying to live by fleeces and signs, how it can literally destroy you. It can destroy your faith. It can destroy your walk with God. It can destroy people around you and ill affect them. I'm going to show you the potential dangers of trying to live that way on Sunday night. Okay, we'll finish this message on these fleeces, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we, Lord, thank you for your word tonight. And God, thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just the fact that you've given us the completed word of God by which we can make sound choices and decisions. And Father, we're not always going to get it right. There's times when we're going to make bad decisions. But that's how we learn. That's how we grow. Father, we learn and grow from those decisions we make that don't turn out right and they're not good. And then we learn, we grow, and hopefully we don't repeat that. And Lord, that's part of that learning process that you want us to go through. And so, Father, we just pray, God, that you will help us to understand the freedom you've given us in Christ to live out our faith in the context of our everyday life. And that we don't have to worry that you're displeased, you know, with this or that, as long as we're in the circle of your word. And we don't have to always have that hovering over our head, Lord. We can be set free from that condemnation and that bondage. So, Father, we pray that you'll do a mighty work now through your word. And may we walk by faith in your word, not by sight. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.